22. A blind cat's luck. In the summer of 1224, while the crowned heads of Manreach were feeding kin to goblins near Goltay at the king's doom, the last wave of youngsters were mustered off for training. That training would take a whole hard year of shield walls, spear drills, archery, and fast marching. Manreach had learned during its second war with goblins, the Threshers' War, that the horde easily killed green peasants armed only with clubs and pitchforks, no matter how many they numbered. During the Threshers' War, 1210 through 1217 marked, we'd lost 9 men in 10. I was born in the first year of that calamity, so I was 14 when the muster came to Plataglurus. The war raging then was being called the Daughters' War, for it was mostly daughters left to fight it. Lads my age were the oldest to be found in numbers, and eventually went with their sisters and mothers and aunts into huge armies allied against the goblin horde. This newest group of Unthermen, Holtishmen, Bracish, Gallards, Spants, Guns, Midlers, Wostrons, and tributes from the odd cities in Istria and Beltia called itself the Glorious League, and the gods hate that sort of thing. They like to decide whose the glory is, and so they did. The worms got the glory. Even that last wave, who, with the help of the Corvids and the unburnable Springwood, ships finally pushed the goblins back to their homelands in this Daughters' War, mostly didn't come back. Goblins fought with poison, you see. They fought with great mole-blind, moon-white galls they'd bred up from man-slaves underground and pain-mad boars the size of ponies with spikes inside their armor as well as out. They fought with rolling palisades and a hail of bolts. They fought with illness. They fought with fear. King Conmar of Holt sent letters bearing his seal to all the towns in all his three lands, Holt proper, also called West Holt, Norrald, and Galtia. Plathaglurus got such a letter, and it empowered the Duke to set muster men. These had the responsibility of recruiting soldiers, and if a muster man named you, it was treason not to go. If you slipped town, the muster man paid a fine. He was never a noble. He would be one of the townsfolk, someone known and well-liked, like a reeve. Someone wealthy enough to have something to lose, but not so wealthy the fine wouldn't hurt him. A month before the last muster, the Takers Guild had sent a muster man of its own to Plathaglurus. He said his name was Cavanmere, and no one ever so ennobled greed, disloyalty, and desertion. Listen, here's his solicitation, as near as I remember it. "This war is not for you, Kinch, not you. It isn't that I don't want us to beat those evil buggers. I'm kind like you, aren't I? It's just that the gods give us each our gifts, and those gifts are not the same. Take your Coldfoot guards, the cream of Goltish infantry, kin so hard they wear no shoes, not on frost nor rocks. Finest spearmen in Manreach, yes, that's their gift by the gods, their strength and warlike prowess. They were shaped in the womb to hold a spear. Their lungs are made for yelling the wolfish howl of your Solgranan Bloodmuzzle, god of war. But you're a foxfoot man, aren't you? Called by Fothanan to the subtle art, I thought so. I know your brother went to the mints for stealing, there to be deafened and maimed. And what did he steal? Don't tell me, I already know. We already know. To be maimed for a bit of dyed cloth is a poor boy's lot, if that boy lets things fall that way, and now he's off to war himself. You don't have to let things fall that way. You don't have to answer the muster. Go to some Goltay or Orphay to die unfucked and unsung for King Conmar, whose tongue's as pink as mine. Look at you, you Galtish wonder. Blood of dead elves runs in you, mad cunnies, they say. For those who believe in elves, I don't, but if I did, I'd say they shot their seed in Galtia. A lutist's fingers on you, a fiddler's fingers, fine fucking fingers. Your fingers were made for coaxing locks on doors, locks on trunks, the locks of a maiden's hair. Not being bitten off by some goblin's fish-toothed mouth. You were made for scaling bankers' walls to raid their silver bars, not to crouch behind a cheaply made shield, and a heavy one, too, and, with shaking arms, try to hold it steady, imagine it, while an armored war boar, see it in your mind, heaves his quarter ton at you and goblins poke unclosable holes in your pretty legs with their three-sided spike spears. It insults the gods themselves to spend such rare coin as you to buy, what, another dead soldier in the mud, trampled under mud, I say, all but his sad, dead face wet in the rain, or worse, carted off to hang in a Hordeland's butcher hole until they can salt his thighs and eat them off the bone with the foul mushrooms that help them dream their formless smudge-smoke god alive. And shit you into a ditch. Is that what your mother would want? You to be shit out a goblin's arsehole in far Gallardia? What did a Gallard ever do for you? Right, nothing. Now ask what your good aunts and uncles in the guild will do for you. What are you, 17? Only 14. Oh, big for 14. Not big, really, but big for a small lad. Big for a small, clever lad of just 14. Would you like a copper shave right now? Here it is. I don't give a toss. We don't give a toss. We're rich as old Kesh, aren't we? As full of gold as Adrapur of old. You like coins, I can tell. Ever see a trounce? Gold all the way through. Here's one. 3 ounces of paradise. Just a peek. Ooh, how to get behind your ear. That's fast hands work. Don't worry. We'll teach you that the first day. Let the cold foot guards poke with a spear. Let the farmers thrash with a flail. They've been practicing on the wheat, haven't they? You'll serve another way, sure as oath day follows ring day with Widdersdee behind, but you'll know your D's and A's, a smart lad like you. You know, they use our assassins and thieves in the army, yes? We lend a hand, not cheaply, mind, but crowns can pay. You might end up doing that, sniping goblin chiefs from far away, sneaking into goblin camps to free our brave prisoners some day, later, with skills to keep you alive and useful. Who knows? You know that lad Fullen from the next village? He's coming with me. He's already gone, or I wouldn't have told you. He'll be rich, I promise you. He made his choice, same choice you've got. March onto a troop mule next month and die a bad death, or... leave with me this week and live a good life. I can see in your eyes you know who you are. Not sure if we'll take you to Lamnor or Pigdenay. We have a school in each, but either way you'll still be by the sea. Where a river meets the sea, that's the place to be. Meet me tomorrow and we'll talk again. Speak a word of my visit and I'll be smoking the leaves, but you're much too smart for that. This time next year we'll both be thieves. After our talk, I walked the several miles to the tattered sea and borrowed a rowboat, which I took to the Isle of Ravens, called so for the colonies of huge, brave bastards that roost in the salt-sickened trees there. No land for farming that, all rocks and marsh. A perfect place to take a girline or hide out with a pack of mates. A perfect place to weigh a life-changing decision. What did I think of thieves back then anyway? Well, to be very clear, the first thing I'd wanted to be was a magicker. All the river towns, Plathaglurus, Brithminnan, all the way out to the sea, had rung with tales of the time Fulvir Lightningbinder and Knockbur the Galt had come to the Isle of Ravens to find the birds they'd later breed the corvids from. It was said they had enchanted fences to come to life and box the taxman's ears, or turned the moon pale green to celebrate summer dawn, or made 2 seagulls sing, one in Galtish, one in Milroven, with a beautiful curly-haired woman to judge which bird sang better. These stories made the pair of warlocks out to be almost demigods, bending nature and matter to their wills. And with such panache and good humour, I wanted to be as they were. But I knew magic came from books, and though I could read anything you set before me, I would never have the means for such luxuries. And I never saw these wizards for myself. Thieves I had seen. My oldest brother, Patrick, actually only my stepbrother, for I was the eldest of my mum's, was a thief of sorts, but hadn't a talent for it. he never went the guild's way. He'd been caught hooking a shirt off a drying line one hamlet over, and he'd been drubbed soundly by the neighbours, people in little towns watch over each other. That should have been the end of it. But it was a fine plum-coloured shirt belonging to the Reeve. The Reeve complained to the Lord, and Patrick got sentenced to work in the King's Mint. Sounds foolish, eh, putting a thief near all that silver? Well, the penalty for stealing from the Mint was death, so no one much tried. The sentences were short, too. 3 months was all he got, but he'd have been better off taking a year in jail. The real punishment isn't the time, it's the work. Mint vassals hold the blank steady while the striker works the hammer. If you get a good striker, you'll just go deaf. Takes about a week. Unless you plug your ears with wax, but you're not allowed to bring your own plugs. They check your ears. You have to buy them, and they cost 3 shaves each. They should be fine candles for so much. You have to buy new ones each day. You see how this goes. The dishonest poor go deaf. Also, you have to pay to choose your striker. The older, sure ones cost 2 shaves a day to work under. The new ones are free until they crush your finger because they miss, and then they cost a finger. Too bad, right? Shouldn't be a thief, right? That's not how I took it. The ones in charge are thieves. That's what I gleaned from Patrick's crippled fingers and loud conversation. Don't get caught is what I learned. Get in with the guild. Patrick went with the muster that should have taken me as well, and he fought goblins. They killed him in some Galardian mud flat, and him probably shouting, "What?" the whole time. The island was pretty that afternoon, the air cool, the trees full of the hoarse shouts of ravens. I found one proud, night-black bastard on a branch throwing blue highlights off his feathers, and asked him should I slip the muster, but he had no opinion beyond "crack," which I knew I might interpret as I pleased. So I sat on the cold, rocky strand, and I watched the waves roll in like they'd done before thieves or soldiers, thinking, what's any of it matter? And then, a boy does as he's told, a man does as he pleases, and then, soldiers get beers bought for them, then, dead soldiers get none. I tried a prayer to Fothannon for the first time, told him to show me if he wanted me for one of his own, or should I take up a spear. When I got back to the mainland, the fisherman whose boat I'd borrowed cuffed me about and named me a thief. I saw one hand on him was nothing but thumb and one finger, and he had an ear off him too, bit of the king's ribbon on his straw hat to show him a soldier. And here he was wrestling cold cod out of the water with a boat needing paint and a pincher for a hand. I made a little fox out of river clay that night and declared myself his servant. I left town with Cavanmere 2 nights later, off to Pig Denay, leaving the muster man who named me to pay a fine. That man was Coil na Brannock, father to Malk na Brannock, both of them cold foot spears, both of them blessings to their friends and devils to their foes. The father died in Arfay in Galardia, hacked and bitten down by goblins. The son saw it happen. And here he stood before me on the ship I was to call home. Malk na Brannock, older, goblin-bitten, sun-leathered, and it seems one of the toughest hands on the Swepka Burier's deck. Welcome, fucking Kinch. Welcome to my fucking ship. Thank you, fucking Malk. I'll try to make the fucking best of it, is what I should have said, but what came out of my mouth was some weak little grunt. You see, while Malk was a man to reckon with, fear wasn't what muzzled me. It was shame. No one can still your tongue like somebody who knew you at your worst. Of course, I'm not confident I was worse when I was younger. I may be the worst I ever was now, ethically speaking, but I know now how not to look so bad. We don't usually know that when we're young, so our worst traits are on full display. One of the many reasons not to trust a traveller is that he may not be wanted by those who know him best. "Aye," he said, "best not let's say too much now. We'll have time to talk later. I just can't believe my good luck seeing you here." Once again you'd have to be paying attention to see how hateful that was, how what looked like warmth in his eyes was actually a frost so cold it burned. Then, in Galtish, he said, "Exaim fath margus bed." it is smart to have a dog. That's a Galtish way of saying, watch yourself. One response to that was, Mesaf Mathmargus Flynn, I am my own dog, meaning I won't be caught sleeping and I know how to bite. Of course, what I actually said was, Me edge bain ikatit tull. I have a blind cat's luck. When it croaked out of my mouth, I meant it as a statement of fact, but looking back, it sounded perfectly weird, ambiguous, and off-putting, so it was just the right thing. Or as right as anything else. What I said wasn't going to matter to Malk. My chances of dying on this voyage had just gone from decent to excellent.